Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. For years now, people have been setting up a little contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since the events in Ukraine and the oil and inflation crisis, gold has done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, and who isn't, just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metals IRAs for your retirement. They'll get you straightened out on your options and hold your hand through the entire process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 right now to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
A fourth blow after lockdowns, no jab, no job, and sanctions, which might take down the economy completely, setting up the Great Reset, and that would be the cyber attack.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. That was my friend and author, James Perloff. Now, James and I have had many great conversations over the past, and one interview I did with James had the most views of any interview I ever did. It was called God is Real, and it was closing in on 3 million views when YouTube nuked my channel back in 2020. I re-uploaded that interview just a couple of months ago, so you can scroll through my catalog backwards to find it. In this interview, we uncloak the wall of propaganda regarding Ukraine, Hunter Biden, actor Zelensky, Soros, Rothschild, and the Biden crime family. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know you can earn hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in crypto? And did you know if you do it right, you don't have to pay capital gains tax on it? Open a Roth crypto IRA right now with My Digital Money to take advantage of it. And when you go to retire, you will pay nothing on your capital gains. If Ethereum, Chainlink, or Solana doubles, or Bitcoin surges to a new high, you could be doubling your investments. My Digital Money's US-based phone support is always ready to answer your questions. And you know what's better? They will give you a free $50 credit if you fund your My Digital Money crypto IRA account with at least $1,000. That's right, no capital gains tax. Go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now. MyDigitalMoney.com. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's fantastic to have you back, and it's great to have back author and longtime friend to SGT Report, James Perloff. Today we're going to be talking about Ukraine behind the wall of propaganda, and I'm going to shine the light of truth on Zelensky, the puppet, the Ukrainian actor, literally an actor who appeared on a TV show on a network owned by a Ukrainian billionaire oligarch. Let's welcome James now. How are you, James?
I'm doing good. Sean, it seems like it's been at least a couple of years since we've been on together. It's really great to be back on with you. I know that you had over 600,000 admitted subscribers on YouTube before they erased your channel. And congratulations to you for rebuilding your following on BitChute and other platforms.
Well, thanks, James. Let's start with this news item today over at Zero Hedge and around the interwebs. A very big story about a WaPo tech reporter, Taylor Lorenz, under fire for doxing the libs of TikTok account and harassing the family. Boy, does this resonate with me, and I'll tell you why in a second. Here's the libs of TikTok account. Now, these people need to be exposed because they are grooming the children, James. They're grooming, in their own words, grooming children. Listen to this clip from Libs of TikTok.
Here is Madison Cawthorn's definition of a woman. X chromosomes, no tallywhacker. And this gives me a chance to talk about biological essentialism. First of all, it's not true. People have all kinds of chromosomes and all kinds of bodies. Women who've had hysterectomies, people born with certain conditions, but that's almost immaterial.
That's almost immaterial. James, these are the people that want to teach our children. You and I have talked about this mindset, the mindset that comes from no belief in a creator. You've written about it. You've written about Darwinism, the fraud of Darwinism, tornado in a junkyard. Let me scroll down. This is Taylor breaking down in tears. I'll just play it. What a hypocrite.
You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. And it's so isolating.
And terrifying.
It's horrifying. I'm so sorry.
All right. Now keep in mind, she is a Washington Post reporter. She is an employee of Jeff Bezos, one of the world's richest men. She is a mercenary, just like Sean Boberg of the Washington Post is a mercenary. And this slimeball, Taylor, showed up at the homes of relatives of this owner of this TikTok channel, harassing them, doxing them, and doxing the owner of the TikTok channel. What a hypocrite. And that's exactly what happened to me when Sean Boberg of the Washington Post showed up on my doorstep on Father's Day of this past year at 5 p.m. in the afternoon and threatened my wife that he was going to do a hit piece on me and I better talk to him because I wasn't going to like the piece. I chose unwisely to talk to him. And what I didn't do is I didn't take his picture or videotape him on my front porch when I read him the Riot Act and literally called him a mercenary of one of the world's richest men. I should have videotaped all of it. It would have been a big story, but sometimes I do dumb things, James. What do you make of these mercenaries who are in the employee of billionaires who want to lie to people? Because it very much ties in to the story of Kolomoisky, the billionaire oligarch in Ukraine who installed puppet Zelensky.
Well, we're seeing a lot of these crying actors before. You might remember with the January 6th, the officers who tearfully spoke of the allegedly violent rioters who came to the Capitol that day, many of whom were infiltrators anyway. Or you could go back to 1991 when you had the alleged nurse who was not a nurse from Kuwait claiming that Iraqi soldiers had thrown babies out of incubators. But she was coached on that crying act by the giant PR firm before she did that. So it's very easy for people to put on these shows in order to convince the public, and especially when they've got the as you mentioned, you know, the billions of dollars of the mainstream media behind them, it's not difficult for them to arrange acting lessons and do retakes of shoots and so forth to make sure that they get the impression across. We're living in that wag the dog the world right now.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly right. Let me do a screen share here because Bezos' blog, the Washington Post, is literally the tabloid owned by one of the world's richest men. Well, how about this? Ukraine, behind the wall of propaganda, we're at jamesperloff.net. Where will he stop showing a silhouette of Putin on the Economist magazine cover owned by Rothschild? Right. Well, before we get into this, where will he stop? How about this? Where will this guy stop? Zelensky, the puppet of oligarch Kolomoisky. Listen to the first minute or two of this, James.
Ukrainian actor Volodymyr Zelensky has achieved fame portraying a president in this TV show, which is broadcast on a channel owned by a man backing his real-life presidential campaign. Billionaire Ihor Kolomoisky has provided security, lawyers, and vehicles for Zelensky. His bodyguard accompanied Zelensky on the campaign trail. The car Zelensky uses belongs to a company owned by one of Kolomoisky's companies. And Kolomoisky's lawyer is now working for Zelensky's campaign. When the results of the first round of the election became clear on March 31st, President Petro Poroshenko did not mince his words.
Доля вже так розпорядилася, що звела мене в другому турі, і я не соромлюся це казати, звела мене з маріонеткою Коломойського.
Kolomoisky, filmed here in Switzerland in 2018, is an arch foe of Poroshenko and one of the richest men in Ukraine.
One of the richest men in Ukraine. James, I'm coming back to you. You're right. This whole world is wag the dog.
Yeah. And you've mentioned some people who in situations that I wasn't even aware of before, but this has been going on for a long time. The mass media is now monolithic. It's controlled, as you know, by five corporations here in America, you know, Time Warner, and News Corp, Disney, NBC Universal, and since CBS merged with Viacom, it's down to 5 from 6. And, you know, and here I live in New England, no matter what you look at, the Boston Herald is owned by News Corp. WBZ was always our go-to news station. That's owned by CBS now, Viacom. And New England Cable Network News is owned by NBC Universal. So you've got the big five wherever you look, and they all walk in lockstep. They walked in lockstep on COVID for 2 years, and now with Ukraine, they're all walking in lockstep on that. And you know, the next so-called emergency will also see them walking in lockstep again. And people need to wake up to the fact that, you know, it's not a matter, you know, truth is not a determined by a majority opinion, especially when the majority is owned by the same people. Truth is determined by the facts, you know. And how often I've wished that we were attorneys in a courtroom and that the public was a jury. So, because if we presented the facts, there's no question that the facts would decide in our favor rather than those people who are just prostitutes working for the oligarchs that work behind the scenes in America and the world.
Well, the other thing that we need to talk about is not just Zelensky being the puppet of Kolomoisky. He's also a puppet of the West. He's a puppet of NATO, as is Biden. Biden is a puppet of trillionaires. Biden is a puppet of the World Economic Forum, essentially of Rothschild. Biden does not represent the best interests of our country. And I think Biden is going to open up the borders even more by getting rid of, what is it, Title 42, which will create a flood of illegal immigration. If you think it's been bad now, it's going to get a whole lot worse because we have a puppet president. Your thoughts on that before we go any further, our puppet president?
Well, of course, he's a puppet. He's actually senile at this point. He has obvious signs of senile dementia. I thought they were going to get rid of him right away and have him step down. But I think they kind of like having this guy there who, for the sake of an ice cream cone, will read anything off a teleprompter or sign any document that they put in front of him. But this has been going on for a long, long time. We've had people like George Bush, who, you know, George W. Bush, who were clearly not in charge of the country, not the masterminds of 9/11, but were simply working for the Zionist controllers behind them. This is nothing new. It's been going on for a long time. And they've been consolidating their power over the years so that they can censor any information they want and push any particular narrative that they want.
You know, I hadn't planned to go down this path about Title 42, but since I brought it up, let's play this clip. 10 Dems flip on Biden and join GOP in opposing plan to end Title 42. Democrats are speaking out against Biden administration's move. Now, I want to just be very clear here. I've said from day one, Biden is a traitor to our nation, and nothing would prove that more than ending Title 42, which would create an absolute flood of illegal immigration, which we already have. It's going to get 10 times worse. Listen to this.
There is such a disconnect between DC and what's going on the ground on the border region. We have never seen such a thing. And what is going on and what the people living in this region are facing every day would not be allowed on Pennsylvania Avenue.
You have 4 deputies patrolling 110 miles. Are you kidding?
Yes, it's unreal, Brian. The way these sheriffs are having to work these days, their mission statement in the Border Coalition is they never intended or wanted to be immigration officers, and now they're reacting daily, 24 hours a day, to assist Border Patrol, who have become processors who cannot enforce the laws and immigration statutes that are on the books to secure our country. And they're just getting run over, and it's just totally disgusting down here.
So let me scroll down here just so people understand. Ending Title 42, a Trump-era border policy, that allows for expedition of deportation of migrants and prevents them from seeking asylum? Well, of course, this treacherous, treasonous old man who didn't get 81 million votes would want to end Title 42 because he wants to burn down this country. James, I'm coming back to you. Do you disagree with anything I've just said?
No, absolutely not. In fact, in my book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, which came out 8 years ago, I talked about the purpose of immigration, you know, from a very basic understanding. We saw in Europe how borders were knocked down and how Angela Merkel was bringing in millions of immigrants, and Sweden was being destroyed. And what's happening is, you know, God divided the nations in the book of Genesis to keep evil from overcoming the planet. And what happens, the oligarchs understand this very well. When you bring in a lot of immigrants who don't speak the language, who have no loyalty to your national flag, who don't know your customs and traditions, it creates diversity, but this diversity is not positive, as they try to say. This diversity is actually negative. It's part of the divide and conquer scheme. All of a sudden you have a nation that no longer consists of Frenchmen or Britons or Swedes. You have a population that is composed of people from many different national origins who have no unity. And this makes them very easy to absorb into the New World Order. You know, a nation which is strong in its national identity is going to be very difficult to bring into the New World Order. But a nation which is divided and confused is going to be very easy to bring into the New World Order. I think that's one of the underlying principles that the oligarchs have been operating under. And it's certainly true in America, no less than in Europe. They want unlimited immigration, not only because that gives the Democrats more votes, but also because it confuses us as a nation as to who we really are. And it makes America easier to bring into the whole New World Order, the whole planned scheme of world government, which goes back for decades now, and which I've documented in my book, such as The Shadows of Power, which came out in the 1980s.
Yeah, and I just want to say, Biden isn't the only traitor in the administration. No. His entire administration is loaded with these people. Victoria Nuland, we know, has played probably the primary role in terms of what's going on in the Ukraine. Let's talk about the hypocrisy of these treacherous vipers in the Biden administration and NATO as it pertains to Ukraine. Now, if you could imagine yourself as Putin for the past 20 years, what would you say is hypocritical about NATO and promises broken by the United States, James?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. You know, you go back to, in my article, Ukraine Behind the Wall of Propaganda, which is on my website, jamesperloff.net. You know, I broke it up into several sections, but the section I begin with is the hypocrisy of the United States and NATO putting sanctions on Russia. We've done so many worse things. We're not dealing with a national security issue on our border like Russia is. We have gone halfway around the world to invade Iraq over weapons of mass destruction, which didn't exist, in a war that cost hundreds of thousands of lives and trillions of dollars. And then you go back to the original Gulf War of 1991, which American opinion was swung by a nurse claiming that, Iraqi soldiers were throwing babies out of incubators, a story that was invented by the public relations firm of Hill and Knowlton. And people thought they were actually watching a congressional hearing, but actually it was not a congressional hearing. It was set up by Hill and Knowlton and filmed there to look like a congressional hearing, but it was not. But that's what it looked like on the news media. And then you take it up to Afghanistan, and we were in Afghanistan for 20 years. Now, why did we go to Afghanistan? Supposedly to get bin Laden after 9/11. But, well, you know, I was working on a book on 9/11. I spent about 8 months on it before COVID started, and I had to write a book on COVID, so I came out with my book, COVID-19 and the Agendas to Come, Red-Pilled. As you know, I was a registered nurse in the state of Massachusetts for 45 years before I retired in 2019, in addition to being a writer. for many, many decades a journalist. I wrote for the New American for 27 years. The fact of the matter is that we have been deceived so many, many times. In Afghanistan, again, Putin's been in Ukraine for less than 2 months as we record this, but we were in Afghanistan for 20 years, and supposedly get bin Laden. In my book, I discovered an excellent a book written by Gary Bernstein, who was the commander of our forces seeking bin Laden in 2001. And he said, you know, all I need is, almost got bin Laden surrounded, and all I need is 800 more US Rangers. We could capture bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. Well, he has refused the Rangers, and he was dismissed and sent to South America because we didn't want bin Laden, because if we went to bin Laden, then we wouldn't have had all these wars that General Wesley Clark warned were coming. He warned that the Pentagon had told him that we're gonna take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq. And that's exactly what happened. We started with Iraq in 2003. But then there was, in 2011, that we supposedly killed bin Laden, not in Afghanistan at all, but in Pakistan. And many people, of course, including myself, don't believe that really happened. They threw his body into the ocean the very next day, so it was impossible to verify that they'd killed bin Laden, the original purpose of our mission to Afghanistan. Yet we stayed in Afghanistan after that alleged killing of bin Laden in 2011 for another 10 years. And we could add to that the destruction of Syria in 2011 by NATO with relentless bombing for several months, even though Libya was the most prosperous nation in Africa. It had an average income of $15,000 per person, which is very high in that region. It had the highest life expectancy in Africa. It had the highest literacy rate at 88%. We destroyed this nation and turned it into chaos. We could add to that the cruise missiles we dropped on Syria in 2017 and 2018 based on the flimsiest of evidence. And I wrote an article called 14 Reasons Why We Should Not Have Bombed Syria. You can still find it on my website, janeperloff.net. But you know, at the top of the list, you can't dismantle chemical weapons by bombing them. You have to be very careful. You have to very carefully remove them and drop them out at sea. It was an absurd pretext. And of course, there's Yemen, where we supplied the Saudis with weapons for years that brought millions of people into starvation or the brink of starvation. The crimes of NATO and the US are so long, and yet we've never been sanctioned. Our own media never criticizes it. When we bombed Syria in 2018 with cruise missiles, not a single mainstream newspaper even questioned it. They never even questioned whether or not this was constitutional or not.
That's right.
You know, we did in the alt media, but this has been going on for decades. So the fact that Russia, and we'll get into this, why Russia is really in Ukraine, the fact that Russia is dealing with national security issue for less than 2 months on its own border, when we've, on false pretext, bombed and destroyed so many nations, I start with that, the sheer hypocrisy of U.S. government leaders, not the American people, but the U.S. government leaders who follow the oligarchs who pay them off, and the mass media, which is so clearly controlled, as you've already demonstrated in this, this video. That's where we need to look first is, you know, as Jesus said, take the plank out of your own eye before you remove the speck from your neighbor's eye.
Yeah. Well, let's do a screen share here because I think this meme from Ben Swan sums up what you just said perfectly. You posted this in your article. The U.S. has dropped more than 326,000 bombs and missiles on people in other countries since 2001. That's an average of 46 bombs and missiles per day for 20 years. But you didn't care because the media, the mainstream horror mockingbird media, didn't tell you to care. And the propaganda machine made you believe it was all A-OK. In the words of Hillary Clinton, as it pertains to murdering Gaddafi, we came, we saw, he died. Cackle, 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 like the witch she is. I'll scroll down because what people need to understand is Putin's very lucid perspective on all of this. I think it's worth the 2 minutes to watch this, James. Maybe I'll translate or people can just read along. So regarding the guarantees and whether anything will depend on the course of the negotiations, Our actions will depend not on the course of the negotiations, but on the unconditional provisions of Russia's security today and in the future. To this regard, we've made it very clear that NATO's further eastward expansion is unacceptable. Are we placing missiles near the borders of the U.S.? No. It was the U.S. that came to our home with their missiles. They are already in front of our home. Is this some kind of excessive demand not to put any more offensive systems in front of our house? You guys get the idea. James, anybody with two brain cells to rub together can figure out what's going on here. But even people like Sean Hannity on Fox News are revealing themselves as the hardcore Zionists that they are, because Sean Hannity is in lockstep with the official U.S. narrative regarding Putin boogeyman bad, Zelensky Ukraine good.
Putin laid out very clearly his reasons for going into Ukraine. It is an interventionist, not a conquest. He's made it very clear he has no intention of permanently occupying Ukraine. The situation from Russia's perspective is, I'm going to call people's attention to the fact that in 1962, I'm certainly old enough to remember this, even though I was just a youngster at the time.
Cuban Missile Crisis?
No, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Exactly.
The Soviet Union put nuclear missiles in Cuba. President Kennedy reacted swiftly and said, we will not tolerate hostile missiles in our hemisphere. Now, why should we apply one standard to ourselves and yet deny that the same standard should apply to Russia? Russia, as you mentioned, Zelensky has not only asked to become a NATO member, but he's asked that NATO give him nuclear missiles that he could place on Russia's border. Now, Russia doesn't want that, just as Kennedy didn't want that in 62. There's no difference in principle. Another thing, of course, is the biolabs. And I have a clip on my it's a screenshot from Bloomberg saying that the idea of biolabs in Ukraine was just a conspiracy theory, the favorite term of the mainstream media to try to discredit anything without actually looking at the facts. But Victoria Nuland, I'm sure she regrets it now. She admitted before Congress, and I have the clip of her saying this, she admitted that they have biolabs, U.S. biolabs in Ukraine. And she said that the Russians could turn these biolabs against us, which indicates they are dangerous. And have also clips of Ben Swan and Tulsi Gabbard, the former several-term congresswoman, talking about the dangers of these biolabs. Remember, they're working on gain-of-function research, same as the Wuhan lab did, with financial backing from Anthony Fauci, all right? And they're working on things like anthrax and plague. These are dangerous pathogens which could easily be spread by drones into Russian territory. This is another reason for Russia's intervention. Another was the fact that NATO had promised when the Soviet Union broke up in 1991, and believe me, I was no fan of the Soviet Union. I was a member of the John Birch Society, and I wrote for their magazine, The New American, for 27 years. So I'm a conservative from way back. I'm very anti-communist. But NATO did promise not to expand further eastward. But look at the nations that have now absorbed since the breakup of the Soviet Union: Poland, Bulgaria, Albania, Slovenia, Slovakia, Croatia, Romania, all three of the Baltic states. So that's another reason. But the final reason I'd like to mention, and if you go to the end of my article on Ukraine, behind the wall of propaganda, I have two documentaries there that I linked to. They're too long for me to embed. I just wanted people to have access to them. One is by the very famous filmmaker Oliver Stone, made in 2016. It's called Ukraine on Fire. And the other is by a German filmmaker, again in 2016, Ukrainian Agony. Now, these documentaries show, long before Russia ever went into Ukraine, that the Ukrainian government was attacking its own civilians in the eastern, such as Donbass, in the eastern regions of Ukraine. They'd outlawed the Russian language. The Russian speakers didn't like that. And actually, I learned this just recently from a Swiss NATO intelligence officer that Zelensky had also made a pledge to reconquer Crimea, which, you know, more than 95% of its citizens had voted to rejoin Russia, which they'd long belonged to. So, I should also mention that the eastern regions of Ukraine, such as Donbass, had appealed to Russia for help because thousands of their civilians were being slaughtered by the neo-Nazi and the Ukrainian government. So there were many reasons, legitimate reasons, why Russia moved into Ukraine. And frankly, I don't think they have any intention of moving into Western Ukraine. They basically want to, help protect those Russian-speaking regions of Eastern Ukraine. And the last thing I'll say in this before I throw it back to you is that I quote a number of experts on Ukraine, and one of them is Colonel Douglas McGregor. He was on Fox News and he kind of surprised the host. He says, what Russia is doing right is right. We should have Ukraine be neutral, not anti-Russian. They're right between NATO and Russia. And a neutral Ukraine would be not only good for Russia, it'd be good for NATO as well. We need a neutral buffer zone. It makes sense, a lot more sense than the interventions over non-existent weapons of mass destruction we've seen the US and NATO engage in. So Russia has valid reasons. I know that people have talked about, Putin is really, he belonged to the World Economic Forum at one time. Well, they know the World Economic Forum has scrubbed him from their website and have cut off all ties with him. I don't know what the true story is with Putin, but I will say this much, that I like what he says. He's one of the few world leaders that makes sense in what he says. If he really believes this, he's talked about the degradation of Christianity in the West. He's condemned the depopulation scheme of the Western oligarchs, which I've never seen anybody like Hillary Clinton or George Soros do. So if he's an actor, what I say in my articles, I wish we had more actors like that in the West. I feel that Russia has very valid reasons for what they're doing. It's a limited action. They don't have any intentions of being, this comic book Hitler who's planning to conquer the world. They're just trying to deal with a valid national security issues that I just laid out on their very own borders. They're not going halfway around the world like we did in 2003 and 2011.
Yeah.
And other instances.
Friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. This is a perfect time for a quick break. For years now, people have been setting up a little contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since the events in Ukraine and the oil and inflation crisis, gold has done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, and who isn't, just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metals IRAs for your retirement. They'll get you straightened out on your options and hold your hand through the entire process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 right now to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Yeah, let me just say, as it pertains to the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Joint Chiefs were pushing for nuclear war. The Joint Chiefs were trying to put Kennedy in a corner. As we've talked about before, the only thing that saved us from a nuclear exchange was Kennedy picking up the phone and talking to Khrushchev so cooler heads could prevail. And you mentioned Colonel Douglas McGregor. Well, of course, Ukraine should be a buffer zone, because if it's not a buffer zone, then these same seething Zionists that were probably pushing for nuclear war during the Cuban Missile Crisis will do so again as it pertains to Russia. And it's funny how crises like these can really show us who these people are. I mentioned Sean Hannity being a seething Zionist. Well, how about Lindsey Graham, who has literally called for Putin to be, quote unquote, taken out on multiple occasions now. Basically, he's been calling for the assassination of Putin. Now, these people are insane, and I'm glad that we're all now seeing them for who they are. I want to go back to the biolabs. You mentioned the biolabs. You also mentioned Soros. You're going to love this clip. Russia drops evidence that the Biden crime family and George Soros are responsible for bioweapons.
Defense Ministry says they have a smoking gun. Email correspondence showing that the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency and Pentagon contractors in Ukraine worked with Hunter Biden, President Joe Biden's son, in financing biolabs. The son of the U.S. president allegedly secured funds for Metabiota and Black and Veatch.
The contents of the letter show that Hunter Biden played an important role in creating a financial opportunity for pathogen work in Ukraine. The published correspondence indicates that the true goals of the Pentagon in Ukraine are far from scientific. In one of the letters, the vice president of Metabiota notes that the company's activities will be aimed at ensuring, quote, the cultural and economic independence of Ukraine from Russia, which is rather strange for a biotechnology company.
The Russian parliament is inviting Joe Biden and U.S. Undersecretary for Political Affairs, Victoria Nuland, to be part of their investigation.
Earlier, the chairman of the State Duma instructed our international committee to begin the procedure of preparing an invitation for explanations from U.S. officials. These are Mrs. Nuland and Biden Jr.
Earlier, we heard from the Russian Defense Ministry that Rosemont Seneca, Hunter Biden's investment firm, had been involved, along with George Soros' Open Society Institute, in financing biological research facilities in Ukraine. Moscow says these labs were involved in developing bioweapons, and one of these labs was even involved in research related to nuclear weapons. Washington and Kiev have both denied that these labs served any military purpose. And after Mrs. Nuland mentioned them in congressional testimony, U.S. media has done everything possible to shut down any mention of their existence. As for Hunter Biden, his laptop created a scandal during the 2020 elections, but mainstream media shut down any mention of it, saying it was Russian disinformation. And Donald Trump was attacked just for bringing it up.
Why did the mayor of Moscow's wife give the Bidens, both of them, $3.5 million? And that's a lot of money. She gave him $3.5 million. So now I would think Putin would know the answer to that. I think he should release it. I think we should know that answer.
What kind of American, let alone an ex-president, thinks that this is the right time to enter into a scheme with Vladimir Putin and brag about his connections to Vladimir Putin? There is only one, and it's Donald Trump.
Now, the Washington Post and the New York Times both admit it was real. They are backtracking and acknowledging hidden truth.
CNN, the federal investigation into Hunter Biden's crooked business dealings is a very real, very substantial investigation of potentially serious federal crimes. There is a realistic chance this could result in federal charges.
I think it's as bogus as it was before. Trump's appeal to Russian President Vladimir Putin to find information about Biden is despicable.
The U.S. media is now trying to retell and reinterpret a story they previously claimed was false. Meanwhile, Russia is raising very serious concerns about bio labs. And at the same time, many are optimistic, hoping that negotiations can bring an end to the hostility in Ukraine. We certainly live in a world of free-flowing, wild information, with different forces scrambling to try and control it. Caleb Maupin, RT, New York.
By the way, RT, I think, has been banned and is considered by the powers that ought not be in Washington as a source for disinformation. James, I'm coming back to you. Let's just digest that for 1 second. I said earlier in this interview that Biden is essentially a puppet of Rothschild. Some people might think that's a stretch, but let me just say, if Rosemont Seneca, Hunter Biden's investment vehicle, which I think was funded by the Chinese, was in bed with the Open Society Institute, which is Soros's Open Society Institute. Well, I've always said that Soros, like JP Morgan, was the creation of Rothschild, a puppet of Rothschild. So Rosemont Seneca, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the Biden crime family, in bed with Open Society Institute, Soros, in terms of the bioweapons labs in Ukraine. Well, that does make Joe Biden a puppet of Rothschild, or certainly a puppet of Soros. It is so overtly criminal, and the mainstream horror media is in on all of it, which means we don't have, well, people know this. That's why we exist, James. We don't have a fourth estate. We don't have a press. We don't have any checks and balances left at all.
No, you're quite right about the Bidens, and you could go back to Hunter Biden was hired as on the board of directors of Burisma, which was a Ukrainian gas company, to be in their board of directors at a salary of $50,000 a month. Now, what does Hunter Biden know about natural gas? Yet Burisma used that to gain introductions to its personnel to the White House. This is back when Joe Biden was vice president under Obama. We're certainly looking at a situation, yes, these people are puppets of the Rothschilds. You know, it's been documented that even J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller, who we look at the titans of industry in America, you know, a century ago, were actually being were basically gophers for the Rothschilds. You know, John D. Rockefeller got his seed money from the Rothschilds, and J.P. Morgan got bailed out in the 19th century when his firm was in trouble by the Bank of England through the intervention of the Rothschilds. So, yeah, you know, it goes back to the same players who have been running things. You know, we ultimately we know the satanic, but we can spot the figures that are running things, humanly speaking, and we see these same people behind the Bank of England and behind the Federal Reserve System, where in 1910 in Jekyll Island you had the Morgan's representatives and the Rockefeller representatives meeting with the Rothschild representative Paul Warburg to plan the Federal Reserve following the fake panic of 1907. Paul Warburg, who ran that meeting on Jekyll Island, wound up being the vice chairman of the original vice chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, which has done so much to destroy our American economy and the value of our dollar, which was stable from 1770 until World War I, when the Federal Reserve began printing money and our value of the dollar has gone down ever since. So yes, we're dealing with the same forces that have been planning world government, world money for decades. What's happened in Ukraine, we should probably talk about the motives for what's happened in Ukraine before we finish off today. I'd like to kind of touch on that because Ukraine, it's amazing how seamlessly Ukraine replaced COVID after 2 years of hearing nothing but COVID. Suddenly the focus became Ukraine and everyone started, you know, virtue signaling by saying, I stand with Ukraine. There's definitely factors going on with Ukraine that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, we'll do a screen share here again, guys. You should check out James' website. There's things that we don't have time to play here, like the testimony of Ukrainian citizens saying that they were used as shields by the Ukrainian military. They've been shelled by the Ukrainian military. They've been shot at. Many Ukrainian citizens have been murdered by the Ukrainian military. And Sean Hannity won't tell you about any of it. He won't play any of these clips. He's in lockstep with Hollywood and people like George Clooney, who want to stand with Zelensky. If you want to get truth, you can certainly get some truth from Tucker Carlson. He's one of the only he's one of the only good ones left in the mainstream horror media. All right, motive. What beside removing COVID from the headlines for the time being, because COVID's not gone, they're going to bring it back. They're going to fearmonger with another strain, sure. Another strain, another variant. Put your masks on, go get a booster. So let's talk motive. Why now? Why is this all happening now in Ukraine?
In Ukraine, yeah. I should just mention that before we get into that, just a quick note. Zelensky had no political experience before 2019. And if you read my blog post, you'll see a video of him dancing naked in high heels with other men. It's basically a homosexual porn film. And there's another video I just saw on Twitter. It's not in my article, but of him playing the piano with his penis. I mean, so this is the guy that we're supposed to be, and he's nationalized the media, he's banned all opposition political parties, yet he's supposed to be a champion of democracy. But
by the way, let me just say, and Sean Penn happened to be in Ukraine when this whole thing broke out, and Sean Penn comes back and he's on the mainstream media, basically emoting near tears. What a fantastic hero, what an incredible human being, what an inspirational figure Zelensky is. They're both actors.
Right. I think that it's not a coincidence that they picked an actor to be someone who had already played president on Ukrainian TV to be the Ukrainian president, because he could successfully fulfill that role. But in terms of and now you're showing some great fake news, that I have a whole section on fake news about Ukraine article. But as far as the motives go, you know, I've always found, Sean, that for every war, whether it's World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, there's always multiple motives. You go back to this, I wrote an extensive post for the New American Magazine on the Spanish-American War, and I found that there were at least 8 motives for that war. You could start with the conquest of Cuba's sugar industry, which was the biggest in the world at that time. But let's go to Ukraine. a couple of secondary motives are to cover up the corruption, like with Hunter Biden, and to distract us from other issues that have been coming up recently, such as the revelations that Pfizer had all these deaths occurring in its trials, which were Pfizer wanted to cover up for 75 years, but which is overruled by a judge, and all the corruption in America, the voting scandals, the increase of authoritarian measures such as vaccine passports, the decline in economy. Yes, it's a distraction, but it's more than it. I find that there are three basic major motives for what's happening in Ukraine, and I just wanted to list those. One is, I believe they're trying to use Ukraine to advance the Great Reset. And if you look at the Great Reset, which is the title of the book that Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum put out in 2020, right after the pandemic was announced, very so strange you got that book out so quickly. But you know, they want to move us into a cashless society based on a basic universal income, and which will in turn be based on your social credit score. Well, you'll notice that with the lockdowns, we had the first blow against our economy because hundreds of thousands of small businesses were put out of business and millions of workers were taken out of their jobs. Step two was no jab, no job. So more millions of workers worldwide lost their jobs. And of course, when governments lose the tax income from workers, they are forced to make up for that by printing money and inflating. The third step is these sanctions on Russia. Now, Biden will say, well, sanctions on Russia hurt Russia, but they're hurting us, our companies that do business with Russia. Natural gas in England and in rest of Europe, they're dependent on Russia. Now the prices are going through the roof for natural gas, you know, and gasoline prices, beyond the fact that we have the Federal Reserve inflating the currency, is further being inflated by these sanctions on Russia. But you know, there's a fourth blow after lockdowns, no jab, no job, and sanctions, which might take down the economy completely, setting up the Great Reset. And that would be the cyber attack. And I want to just point out that on Robert F. Kennedy's website, he recently had an article. It's called International Finance Leaders Hold War Games Exercise Simulating Global Financial Collapse. Should we be wary? And it turns out that they recently held an exercise in Israel with the representatives of the World Economic Forum, the IMF, the World Bank, and the financial ministers of ten nations, including the US, to simulate a war games of exercise of a financial collapse. Now, this is worrisome because you might remember Event 201 right before COVID hit. They had the Event 201 simulated a world pandemic breaking out. One of the things that we may be looking for is out of Ukraine is that they will blame Russia for a financial cyber attack, which will actually be done by our own people. And that would give them the excuse to create a new economic system based upon, you know, universal global ID. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You know, all that propaganda coming out of the World Economic Forum. The second possible motive for what's going on in Ukraine, I think has to do with pipelines. And I didn't learn about this until Ukraine came up, but you know, it turns out that, you know, of course, Western Europe is getting its natural gas mostly from Russia, but unknowns to many people, Israel has oil and gas field in the Mediterranean off its coast containing, it's called the Leviathan oil and gas field, and it contains an estimated 600 billion cubic meters of natural gas. Now, what the Israelis, with the help of U.S. firms, want to do is to build a pipeline from Israel through Syria, through Turkey, through Ukraine to Western Europe, which would completely cut out Russia. Now, I should mention that Ukraine would be on board with this And Turkey is already reportedly on board with this in exchange for a cut. Of course, Israel, which is originating it with the help of U.S. firms, is on board with it. The only thing that stands in the way is Syria with Bashar al-Assad. And I think this is something very important to remember when you think about this phrase, Assad must go, that Lindsey Graham and so many other, John McCain and others said, Assad must go. And if you've ever wondered why Russia went down to Syria and helped defend the Syrians against the attacks from the so-called moderate rebels and the U.S. bombings, the Israeli bombings, part of it was not, it was not just totally altruistic by Russia. Russia was defending its own pipelines against this planned Leviathan gas and oil field pipeline. That's number two. Number three, and this is the one that worries the most, Sean, and you can give me your input on this because I don't know if it's true or not, but there's the possibility, the way we've been poking Russia, you know, not just the sanctions and not just the $14 billion in military aid, which the US Congress promised Zelensky, but we've been hitting Russia in every way. We, as you mentioned, Lindsey Graham said he should be assassinated. President Biden says we need regime change in Russia. We need to take Putin out. Russian athletes are banned from participating in Olympic Games. And this is the one that really drove me wild was, you know, the first man in space was a cosmonaut from Russia named Yuri Gagarin. And the Space Foundation has erased Yuri Gagarin's name from their records. Now, Yuri Gagarin died 54 years ago. He's got nothing to do with what's going on in Ukraine. Yet the Space Foundation has deleted his name. Now, this is, it would be comparable to the Space Foundation deleting Neil Armstrong's name as a pioneer of space exploration because of the 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq. We keep provoking the Russian bear. And you've got to remember that the Russians are a nuclear power. They have these hypersonic weapons, which cannot be detected by radar, which we don't have. And what I'm asking myself in the article is it possible that there are people like the Rothschilds, like George Soros, very similar to Dr. Strangelove, if you've ever seen that movie that came out in 1964, where Dr. Strangelove, allegedly based on Henry Kissinger, said that during a nuclear Holocaust, world leaders could go underground and escape the Holocaust. Is it possible that they're trying to use Ukraine to initiate a nuclear war with Russia and that the world leaders plan to go underground during this Holocaust? I don't know that, but I think that it's worth considering. And I personally don't think that they would want a devastating nuclear Holocaust because look at all the infrastructure they would destroy, the 5G infrastructure that they've invested so much in and the vaccine passports. And do they really want those things to have to be recreated after a nuclear Holocaust? But, you know, in 1964, besides Dr. Strangelove, there was another movie called Fail Safe, where Henry Fonda played the president. And in that case, it was a very limited nuclear exchange where one American city got destroyed and one Russian city got destroyed. And is it possible that they're looking ahead to a time when there might be a limited nuclear exchange, not to destroy the whole world, but just enough to frighten the world's population into accepting a world government? This is the third reason that I'm looking at as a conceivable possible motive for what's happened in Ukraine. Are they going to try and ramp up the tensions to the point that there is some kind of nuclear tactical exchange to bring us into world government? But I'll throw it back to you, Sean, because I imagine you have, I've given you a lot here, and I imagine you have some significant opinions of your own on whether or not this is conceivable.
No, I think you've covered it all quite aptly. And I would just suggest everybody go and read and watch all of the videos underneath this article that James has written here about the wall of propaganda regarding Ukraine. Wag the dog. It's a wag the dog world. You mentioned Neil Armstrong. You know what? I think all of these guys should have their names scrubbed from the history of this big, giant lie, because Buzz Aldrin told little Zoe here the truth. And I want to play that for folks. I've played it before, but as it relates to stepping foot on the moon with 1969, 70, 71 technology, well, Here's what Buzz has to say about why we haven't gone back.
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question. That's my question. I want to know, but I think I know. Because we didn't go there, and that's the way it happened. And if it didn't happen, it's nice to know why it didn't happen. So in the future, if we want to keep doing something, we need to know why something stopped in the past that we wanted to keep it going. Money is a good thing.
I've played this in the past, but he ends his statement after saying, I know why we haven't gone back, because we didn't go there, and we need to know why we didn't go there. He summarizes all of that craziness with the statement, money is a good thing. Well, I think that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about the Benjamins. James Perloff, final word from you, my friend, and shout out the website.
Okay, well, Sean, it's been a pleasure to be on with you again. I think it's been a good 2 years since we've been on together. I know all the trouble you went through. You know, you were the most popular alt media journalist that there was on YouTube.
No,
you had more than 500,000 subscribers, well over 500,000 that YouTube admitted to. And I think that YouTube was artificially lowering your numbers. I know that they artificially lowered your views. And you and I actually had the most watched interview in SGT report history. It's called God is Real. And I think they lowered the numbers on that. It had officially about 3 million views, but I think they lowered the numbers on that too. As far as my own work goes, I have been in alt media since 1985, when I started writing for the New American. I wrote a book called The Shadows of Power, which I probably have somewhere on my desk here, but I don't want to waste people's time looking for it. It was about the Council on Foreign Relations and how it controlled American foreign policy and supplied cabinet level officials for the government. I wrote a couple of books on Darwinism in the 90s, how it was generated to start people not believing in God and think that we'd, through falsified science, believe that we had been created from amoeba and from single cell creatures through fish, through reptiles, through apes, through humans. But then when 9/11 happened, I realized that the geopolitical arena of this spiritual warfare was taking precedence. So I wrote Truth is a Lonely Warrior in 2013, which is a primer on the New World Order, and wrote another book in 2019 called 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, which supplements that book. And then when COVID came out, have I got it here? In August of 2020, I decided if they're going to warp speed a vaccine, I'm going to warp speed a book as a former 45-year registered nurse and as a veteran writer let people know just what they're scheming. Because frankly, Sean, all of this material that we're talking about here through the Ukraine and going back to Pearl Harbor and the Lusitania and the sinking of the Maine in 1898, going back for decades, has been part of the spiritual warfare and the gradual transformation of the world into a one world government, first under the League of Nations. When that failed, the UN, and then, of course, they decided they'll have to do it piece by piece. So they came up with the EU and NAFTA, which was intended to become into the North American Union. And now they're trying to use the World Health Organization through international treaties to create a world government. And we see through Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum how he's penetrated cabinets of the world, just as the Council for Relations penetrated the US cabinets, to create a uniform response to everything that's happening, whether it's COVID, Ukraine, or whatever the next false flag or next narrative they have is planned. We can see Satan's hand in this, and we need to appeal to God and to be obedient to God in order to oppose this evil that is being foisted upon us. And, you know, my great hope and prayer is that we will continue to awaken people to the truth. Because Jesus said, I came to tell you the truth. And one thing I've found, Sean, over the years is that to explain the basic truth to people about the world, you first have to peel off the lies that have been layered over the truth by Satan. And that's what we're trying to do in shows like in podcasts like SGT Report.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And thanks for the kind words. 740,000 subs on YouTube when they blew the channel up and terminated.
I didn't know it was that many. Okay.
Yeah, but the point is that we're still alive and kicking and doing our best to share the truth. And I think that you sign off on your article here with the correct sentence, which is, may God have mercy on us.
Yes.
Those of us that know the truth, it's our responsibility to tell the truth and share the truth with the people to combat mercenaries like Sean Boberg, who showed up on my doorstep on Father's Day at 5 p.m. My biggest regret of that whole thing is that I didn't walk out and film him and read him the riot act on video that I could have then posted. That would have been the story. I'm not even wired that way. It didn't even occur to me to turn the tables on him because I guess I just, yeah. I don't know. I'm a right thinking person where I'm like, okay, well, why is this guy here? Please leave. I should have videotaped the whole thing. Well, our guest has been James Perloff, guys. The website is jamesperloff.net. James, thanks for all that you do, and please keep in touch.
Thank you, Sean. God bless you. God bless our audience. I thank you very much for the opportunity to be on this platform, and I thank you for retaining your platform in spite of multiple attempts to censor you by the mainstream and by the deep state.
Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. And we will do this again in the future, and we won't have to take 2 years to get you back on. All right, friends, God bless. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. And I really do want to say, given all the supply chain breakdowns we're seeing, guys, I don't know if you know this, but what's going on in Shanghai right now, the lockdown, that has stopped production of everything. The factories are closed, and there are thousands and thousands of ships that are now anchored waiting to get into the port of Shanghai. And what that means to us in this country is less of everything that you normally see on shelves at Target and Walmart. And those shelves are going to start going empty in the next couple of months if Shanghai doesn't open back up. So I really would advise people to go to preparewithsgt.com to at least get some storable food right now while you can. I will leave the link below. It's a great company, and you're going to get what you need to help survive what may be coming and what I think is engineered to be coming by these same evil powers that James and I just shined the light of truth on. Friends, I will also remind you every single day for free, you can visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
I don't know what you do with these people because they are blind. Their minds are in a cult. That's why I talk about it like that a lot. It's like being in a cult.
Yep.
Any outside information is the devil. You know what I mean? So they immediately will reject it. And you're right. They do not research.